I was thinking probably people will wonder why I'm not doing a Christmas sermon today, it being the Sunday before Christmas, but really, if we're preaching the Bible rightly, we're talking about Christ every Sunday, amen? And it should bear no difference that it is the week of His birth, because we are all about Christ anyway, amen? So we're just going to continue on our normal course here on Sunday mornings in the Gospel according to Luke, and we're at chapter number 11. We want to begin this morning looking at what I think is not the prayer of Christ. I think the prayer of Jesus, or Jesus' prayer, is in John 17. I think this is the model prayer. He doesn't pray this prayer, but he tells his disciples how they should pray. And so let's look at what he says here, and we'll be dealing with this over the next few Sunday mornings. And it came to pass that as he, Christ, was praying, it's important for us to grasp, while he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege and an honor to open your word. We've heard it read this morning, and we've read again, and now we begin the task of trying to rightly divide it and expound it, and for that there needs to be much help from the Holy Spirit, and those who are here to hear, you must open their ears and give them desires to hear and understanding of your truth, that we may see you and we may experience you in a great and mighty way through your word today. We love you and we thank you for Christ and the cross and the manger and the birth and the coming of the Savior into the world to save us from our sins. And we celebrate that, and we're grateful and thankful more than we could ever express. We love you again. Help us today. Speak to a heart. Pray that you would help us to see souls saved and Christians drawn closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this accounting of the model prayer is just a little different than what Matthew has given us in his gospel in Matthew chapter number 6. Let me begin by giving you my definition of prayer. Again, this is my definition, has no inerrancy. I think prayer is the continuing conversation with God that brings us to a full encounter with God, through a deeper communion and fellowship with Him. So prayer is not a Christmas list in which we list the things we want and we celebrate when we get them and we're discouraged when we don't. Prayer is a continuing conversation. We must think of prayer as a conversation with God. It's continuing from what? From Him speaking to us. I think one of the reasons why we are so prayerless is because we are so lackadaisical in our hearing God's Word. But as God speaks to us in His Word, we respond to Him in prayer. And so that our experience there, or our encounter with Him is full. He has spoken to us, we speak to Him. And in that, we have this ongoing fellowship and communion with Him. And so it's really important. Prayer is important. And so we have this whole section here, this whole passage dealing with that situation. So I want to sort of introduce and get to the beginning here, and then we'll flesh these things out in the weeks to come on how we are to pray. Let's begin this morning by looking at the setting of the prayer, or the context of the prayer. It's important that we understand the context of the passage. What's going on that brings us to the point of Christ telling us how to pray, or telling the disciples how to pray? Well, the element here that Luke wants us to see, I think, is that it happens in the regular routine of Christ. What's it say? And it came to pass that as He was praying. What did Christ normally do? What was His normal routine? To pray. There didn't have to be a crisis to cause Him to pray. There didn't have to be a big event for Him to have to pray. But during the normal routine of His life, Christ was regular about praying to the Father. It had become the habit of Christ to pray. And I would just say this, we often look at habits as being bad things, and habits aren't always bad things. Sometimes they are good things. Habits are not always thoughtless actions, but sometimes they are thoughtful actions. So Jesus was often talking to the Father by way of prayer. And during the normal daily routine of Jesus Christ, He would pray. Prayer to Jesus was not something that He had to do, or that circumstances required Him to do. It was just something that He did. It was not out of the ordinary that Christ would retreat and pray. It simply was a part of His regular daily routine. And during this regular daily routine, His disciples were privileged to hear Him pray. Now, how good would that be? To hear Jesus pray. Because I'm guessing nobody prayed like Jesus. And so daily they would hear Him pray. Daily they would see Him pray as He went along His regular routine. And so it comes to the point here that they request of Him to teach them to pray. Now, I want you to think about something here. Of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, this was the one thing. They asked Jesus to teach them nothing else. Say amen. This is the only request of Jesus to teach them. Teach us to pray. Now, they could have asked Him, right, to teach them to walk on water. Now, that would have been a good little trick to be able to pull off. Or they could have asked Him, Jesus, would You teach us how You turn water into wine? That could come in handy one day. They could have asked Him, could You teach us to preach? Man, You can. That would have been helpful on their mission, right? But they don't ask him to teach us to walk on water or turn water into wine or teach us how to preach, teach us how to do the homiletical things that go into preaching. No, they ask him to teach them to pray. It reveals, I think, the dependence that they know they have on God and the importance that they understand in speaking with God. And I think this, perhaps the most impressive thing that Jesus, or the most impressive thing that the disciples saw and heard Jesus do was pray and speak to the Father. They seemed to have some being overwhelmed with this awesomeness of how Jesus speaks to his Father. And if Jesus were to grant to you anything that you would allow him to teach you, would you ask him, teach me to pray? That's the setting of the prayer. With the regular routine of Christ, his disciples request of him, teach us to pray. And then Jesus begins to grant their request. Let's notice, secondly, the substance of prayer. They have asked him to teach them to pray, to educate them, to instruct them in prayer. And so we see the education that he is going to give them in prayer. And I think that they had heard the prayers of Jesus daily, and then they have heard their own. I don't know who spoke up here and said, teach us to pray. But I'm guessing he had heard Jesus pray, and he had heard the other disciples pray, and he had heard himself pray, and he recognized, and they all probably recognized, the difference between the two. The prayers of Jesus were so magnificent and so powerful that they wanted to be able to pray like that. Or, in other words, they felt the inadequacy of their prayer life. They understood that their prayer life was nothing like his. And they realized they needed instruction, they needed help in this area in their spiritual life, and they asked him, oh, please teach us to pray. They understood, as the Bible tells us, that they knew not how to pray. Do you realize we don't know how we ought to pray? So I think they wanted to learn how to pray with the fervency that Christ prayed with and with the frequency Christ prayed. They wanted to be able to pray with the intensity that Christ prayed and with the immediacy that Christ prayed. And let me add something here that we all need to grasp, I think. Prayer, then, I think, seems to be something that we just can't, out of our own, do well. I don't think it's in us, naturally, to be able to pray well. It seems to me that it's something that we need to learn to do well and to learn to do better. It seems to me that prayer, at least good prayer, is a result of biblical instruction. It seems that there can be bad prayers, and I've prayed a bunch of them, and there are good prayers. Prayers that begin our Christian life, and then prayers that should be better. Stagnant prayers and growing prayers. It seems that all of our weak and ineffective prayer lives are not confined to that. I don't want you to get discouraged here. Our prayers are weak. Our prayers are many times bad. Our prayers are many times ineffective, but they're not confined to that place because we have the instruction of Jesus here that we can have better and we can have prayers that are moving toward being like His prayers. So that truth, I think, is important that we move slowly through this portion of Scripture. If it's not for you, it's not for you. If you have a wonderful, fruitful, outstanding, fervent, frequent prayer life, it's not for you. But humble me. It is for me. Because I don't feel that I have that. Matter of fact, I at times feel the patheticness of my prayer life. So there is instruction, there is education, there is that instruction from Christ here. But then there is the expression of prayer. And this is what Jesus says. As He begins His instruction of the disciples in the subject matter of prayer, He says, "When you pray, say." Well, we often just move over that real quickly, don't we? Let's not move over it quickly this morning. That is the beginning of the instructions, right? When you pray, say. Not if you pray. When you pray. Those that are His, pray. Maybe not good prayers. Maybe not long prayers. Maybe not praying as often as they should, but God's children pray. They speak to Him. They do feel some connection and some communication is warranted to God, especially when they get in trouble. Especially when things don't go right, we tend to pray. I think that the correct confession that we should make today is, yes, we do pray, we're just not very good at it. I do pray, but I don't pray well. We do pray, but man, nothing like Jesus prayed. We do pray, but maybe not as soon as we should. Because sometimes we do first and pray later. When you pray, okay? When you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, say. The word there is a word that means to express in words. Say. These are thoughts, are expressions of our thoughts. They are not, listen, they are not words designed to impress those that may hear your prayers. They are not simply words that are to be memorized and thoughtlessly repeated. This is not a prayer where we all just chant together, "Our Father which art in heaven." Prayer is an expression of your heart to God. It is the revealing of your heart to Him who already knows your heart. Matter of fact, let me say this. I don't think there's anything you could do that would more be revealing of who you truly are than prayer. Because you never can be truly who you are to anyone like you can to God. You can tell God things you never would tell anybody else. And good prayer is knowing what part of your heart to communicate and to reveal to God. Prayer is our thoughts and our desires expressed in words and clauses and phrases and sentences. So this is not prayer. Well, God knows how I feel. God understands my heart. No, what did Jesus say? When you pray, say. Express your desires and your heart to God, who already knows your heart, already knows your desires. So you don't have to hide anything from God. Number three, the starting of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. They've heard Him pray. They've heard Him pray, and they said, man, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. That's as far as we're going to get this morning. Our Father. So I think that what Christ begins here with is this. Prayer begins with a reminder. Notice the word our. And then notice all of the other plural personal pronouns in the prayer. There are five us's, three ours, and one we. You ought to circle them in your Bible. Five us's, three ours, and one we. And not one I. Not one we. Not one me. Not one mine. Do you get that? The reminder is that we are part of a community called the church. And there are others who we love and who are going through hardships and who have needs as well. Not just us. Not just me. Not just mine. We are not at the very center of the universe. Everything doesn't revolve around me. Others have problems too. Others have needs as well. And I think that if we think about it, our prayers probably consist of mainly I, my, mean, and mine. Mainly my prayers are for me. That means that I'm praying very selfishly and very self-servingly. That's bad praying. If we pray for others, then those others are usually the others that are most closest to us, right? Can I remind you this morning that the idea of individualism in Christianity is not a biblical idea? The idea of personal Savior is not a biblical idea. We are in a community called the church. And the more our prayers are for others, the more our prayers are like the prayers that Jesus is instructing here. We are not the only child. Although sometimes we act as if we are God's only child. We're not. He has many children. We have many brothers, many sisters, and they need daily bread too. They need sins forgiven too. They need to be enabled to forgive others too. They need not to be led into temptations as well. They need to be delivered from evil too. So prayer starts with this reminder that if you want to pray like Jesus instructed us to pray, then your prayers are going to be primarily for others, or the inclusion of you with others. Do we pray for ourselves? Yes. But only in the context of community. Never only for yourself, but for yourselves as part of a community of believers. Listen, I think that the initial evaluation of my prayer life is simply this. How many I's, how many my's, how many me's, and how many mine's were in my prayer? And how many us's and we's and ours were expressed? That will tell me if my prayer and my heart, because prayer is a revealing of me, that will tell me if my heart is selfish or if my heart is not selfish. If my prayers are self-centered or not, that is the initial difference. The initial difference here between prayers and good prayers. Prayers and better prayers. Amen? Teach us to pray. Well, if you want to learn how to pray, listen up. It begins with this. Our, not I. Our, not me. Our, not mine. Us, not I. That's where we start. Prayer starts with a reminder. And then prayer starts with a relationship. When you pray, say, Our Father. Now let me say this. Contrary to popular belief in our country, God is not everybody's father. He is the creator of all. He is not, let me repeat, He is not the father. He is the Father of those who have become His spiritual children through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the Father by His own act of redemption. We are not the children of God by nature. We are the children of God by a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to adoption in God's family. Only by and through the work of Christ. So just everybody can't pray. When you pray, say this, Our Father. Pray for many people beside yourself and make sure that you're a child of God. We have to be able to pray to the Father and to also understand the reality of that truth. Before we come to trust in Christ, the Son of God, we were cut off from Him. And we belong to a different family altogether. You weren't physically born into the family of God. You were physically born of your father, the devil. You were part of a different family altogether. And the reason that the words of Christ most times fall on deaf ears is because those that are hearing them physically aren't hearing them spiritually because they're not of His family. If you're His, you'll hear His voice and you will follow Him. You know, we are in the midst of a very, what they're calling, well, I guess what they have called it for a number of years, we are in the midst of a country that they're calling a very divided country. Right? You watch the news and we're a divided country. They have been, well, you know, we're divided politically, right? Divided politically, half this, half that. They've been telling us for a while now that we're divided along economic lines. And so the effort has been made to take from the rich and give to the poor so that we can narrow this division between the rich and the poor. Now on the news, every time I turn it on, we're divided. We're in a full swing of a racial divide. A division of white and black. And what are we to do to lessen that particular racial division? But the reality is, nobody's talking about what they should be talking about except for the church, and the church should be talking about it, because we always have had and we continue to have a spiritual divide in our country. And the world's not talking about it, and most churches aren't talking about it. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there are those for whom God is their Father, and there are those for whom He is not. And you can't pray like Jesus did because God is not their Father. Now you understand that many prayers are just words. Just words. They think they're saying those words to God. But the only way they can come to God, the only way that those words can arrive to the ears of God, is through Jesus Christ. You understand that's why Christmas is so special? There is no reconciliation with God without Christ. There are no prayers to God without Christ. There is no salvation without Christ. You have no access to the Father unless it is through Christ. You cannot come boldly to the throne of God outside of the blood of Christ. Without Christ, there is no reconciliation. Without Christ, there is no true prayer. It's all just words in air. So who are lost people praying for to? I hear all kinds of lost people tell me they're praying. Who are they praying to? I don't know who they're praying to, but they're not praying to the Father. They're not His children. Who are the Muslims praying to five times a day? I don't know who they're praying to, but they're not praying to the Father. Who are the Jews praying to? I don't know, but they're not praying to the Father. You can't pray to the Father while you deny the sonship and the deity of Jesus Christ. Prayer is only possible through a relationship with the Father through God-given faith in the Son. Now, you can call anyone Father that you want to. But that doesn't make it so. I am the father of two children. And those two are the only two that can call me father. And be right about it. Right? Any other child comes to me and calls me daddy, I'm going to quickly say, whoa, now, I'm not your daddy. That sounds like a Springer show, doesn't it? Not your daddy. The only ones that can call him father are those who have been adopted into his family. And what a glory that is. When you pray, say this, our Father. You're not alienated from the Father anymore. You are not at a distance from the Father anymore. You are not separated by endless eons anymore from the Father. You are not an alien and enmity to God anymore. You have been brought to the very face of God through Christ the Son. Pray to your Father who loves you. Pray to your Father who cares for you. Those who are His, begin your prayer this way, our Father. Father. Our Father is in heaven. Let me say this here before I quit. You have to pray to the God, the Father, as He is revealed in the Scriptures. And the Father who is revealed in the Scripture is one who loves us with an everlasting love, who is not constrained by time and circumstances. He is not fenced in to readily available resources. No, our God, our Father's not on this earth. He is not bound by earth's time. He is not bound by earth's circumstances. No, He is in heaven. He sits on a throne. He is above and beyond all things. He has all authority. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He has all ability. He has all wisdom, and all resources are His. Pray to that God, that Father, that's who you pray to, and that's the only one you can really truly pray to. And you can only approach Him and pray to Him through the person of Jesus Christ, or else it's not really prayer. Jesus prayed so routinely and so influentially that the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And He said, "Okay. When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven.'" Our Father. The one that has brought me into a relationship with Him through Christ the Son. Our Father. Not just my Father, but your Father and your Father. Mindful of the needs of all of the community. Mindful of the necessities of all the community that can claim Him as Father. The Father that sits on a throne high and above all things. The Father who is sovereign and omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, who holds hearts in His hands and can turn them any which way He chooses, who causes kings and kingdoms to rise up and then causes kings and kingdoms to be torn down. The God that is absolutely sovereign over all things, all people, all hearts, and all places. Pray to that Father. There's where you begin. That's where you start. That's the road that begins real prayer. Amen. Will you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You would bless the Word to Your people's hearts today. That we would be mindful of a relationship with God through Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. Or else we don't have salvation, we don't have reconciliation with God, we don't even have the privilege of prayer. Unless it is through a relationship with God through the Son and His work on the cross. So let us be mindful as we begin our prayers that our prayers are not just for us but for others as well. And only through a relationship with God through Christ can we even have the privilege of coming to the throne of God to bear our petitions to Him. So God, I pray that You would cause us to be mindful of that truth and help us to be grateful that we can call You Father the privilege to call you Abba, Father, the privilege to be adopted into the family of God, to be rescued from our sins, to no longer have the wrath of God and the punishment for our sins on our slate, but those have been taken care of by Christ on the cross. Help us to pray and to reveal ourselves to you in our prayers, as we talk to you and as we speak to you about what you have spoken to us in your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.